Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello there, Duke fans, and welcome to episode 610 of the Duke Basketball Roundup. These are the episodes that we do not like, but this one in particular, we really don't like. This is coming on the heels of a 74-69 loss to North Carolina State in the ACC Tournament quarterfinals. I am Donald Wine. I'm your host. It's going to take us through what went wrong last night right here in Washington, D.C. Jason Evans is also with me. Jason, I don't like... to even get up this morning. We were trying to get on here early, but how you feeling?
I guess I'm a little better now than I was yesterday evening, last night. So when this game ended, I swear to you, I sat on my couch for about an hour and did nothing. I flipped over to the, I didn't even want to watch like the next ACC tournament game, although I did tune in the second half, and it was quite the BC Virginia game was quite a game. But I flipped over to the Celtics-Suns game on TNT. It had just ended. And suddenly Impractical Jokers came on. And I've never watched an episode of Impractical Jokers in my life. And I suddenly found myself like not even paying attention to TV, but it was just like on. And then the Will Smith film Hitch came on. I wasn't even paying attention. But these like I noticed these things were just happening. And I was just like vegetating there. I don't know if you want to call it depression, but it was close to that. By the way, my wife is out of town for a few days, and I had a whole plan for this weekend. I was going to luxuriate in watching the ACC tourney with no time pressures or worries about what else I needed to do. But then here I was. Duke lost. They lost in a way that like made me not care about watching any of the tournament anymore. Oh, it was awful. I can't imagine what it was like to be in the arena.
There was a lot of angry people, a lot of upset people, a lot of people asking question, what happened to our Blue Devils? And first off, Jason, I should say that leading up to this, the ACC tournament had been great. You know, I attended almost every single game at Capital One Arena. There has been so many Duke fans who were at City Tap House yesterday. They came and met so many people from the podcast, Jason, so many people. You would have been just absolutely thrilled to meet everybody that I was able to meet, whether briefly or spent some time talking to them, just for them to say how much they enjoy listening to our voice. And funny story, Jason, my friends were calling me a celebrity, and I was like, I'm not a celebrity, my voice is, because some people did not understand that I was there until I started saying something. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool in that regard. And I really appreciate everybody who I got to meet. I'm not going to name everybody because there's so many people that we were able to meet, but it was certainly really, really cool. And Jason, all around the arena, there was just a lot of Duke fans, especially for that night session. There's, you know, a lot of, and for me, I was like, oh wow, this game is setting up, this bracket setting up pretty nicely for us. I mean, we had, you know, double digit seeds on both, you know, on both sides that could have taken, that we could have met on our way to the final. Teams that we had beat, we talked about that in the preview. Everybody on our side of the bracket, we were undefeated against in the regular season. And that very quickly just turned during the game, because it just seemed so frustrating how they were able to get out to a lead. And despite our efforts to try and catch up, we just never quite get it around after like the first couple media TV timeouts. So, Jason, I want to start by leading into the headlines. I know you got some of the mini that we got in, as you mentioned before. Usually after a loss, we don't get that many.
Yeah.
A lot of people will speak their mind on this one.
Yeah. I mean, look, we talked about the fact that we usually don't have that many. The inbox has been going insane, and I can barely keep up with all of them. Several folks who are brand, look, there are a lot of names that we hear after every game, which is great. And we love the regulars, but a bunch of folks who are brand new to all this stuff. And a lot of people who, in addition to sending a headline, had comments. And I'm just going to go ahead and say right away, there are a lot of folks who are like, this team is done. This team is not going to make the Sweet Six, not make it out of the first round of the tournament. I've read a fair number of criticisms of John Shire, and I'm not there. I'm not at that point at all. Look, I could be wrong. Duke could lose early in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament. There are people who are like, we're a five seed. I mean, that's ridiculous. Duke,
we'll
is
talk
still
about the predictions that we have later in the show. But Jason, I will mention that was the first time that we lost in the first round, basically in the quarterfinals, as a double bye since 2013. We were a two seed. We lost in the first round. I believe it was to Notre Dame. And what happened that year? We ended up in the Elite Eight, and you know, not to take away from how gruesome the injury was, a Kevin Ware injury away from the Final Four, right? Like that team was really, really, really rebounded from that loss and turned it around and played very, very well all the way up until Kevin Ware's injury, when Louisville just absolutely just had a wave of momentum to kind of respond to that.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the advanced metrics, Duke is still a top 10 team. This Duke team is going to get a three seed, I think. You know, the people who say maybe a four, I mean, they're fools who say a five. We're not getting a five. I guess maybe Duke gets a four, but I think they probably still get a three seed. And I'm just telling you, you can't overreact to one game. And by the way, losing to UNC, who's possibly a one seed, is not a big deal. This is one game that people are overreacting to. I want to remind everybody, in 2021, Baylor struggled in the Big 12 tournament to beat a really bad Kansas State team, and then they lost in the very next round to a decent but not great Oklahoma State team. I mean, if you're a Baylor fan, you were like, oh no, sky's falling. Six games later, Baylor's putting on rings, cutting down nets. So I don't understand the people who are completely giving up on a team that literally a week ago, people were like, you know, there's still a shot these guys are going to get a number one seed. We had come off, we were beating the pants off of everybody we were playing. You know, as I've said numerous times in this podcast, we were playing like the third best team in the country for 6 weeks. And the notion that you would just toss all that aside because of one game against NC State, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But my job at this moment is to read the headlines. So I'm going to get to those. And I discarded some of the more strident ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some good ones out there that really, really are sum up some of what happened in this game. Chris Bynum gave me DC Duke disappointment, Blue Devils one and done in the ACC tournament. Now, he didn't specifically highlight one and done, but I noticed that in what he wrote. And I wonder if he's somewhat implying there that the team, some of the guys in the team perhaps are looking ahead to their pro option to the NBA and not being focused enough on the here and now. I think that's a really interesting comment by Chris. Chris, I don't know, again, if you intentionally did that, but I read your headline. I was like, that sounds like he's making a statement there. Jim Baumgartner, I love this. He said, do you know embarrassment? D-U-K-E, do you know embarrassment? I have to tell you, Donald, I read that word embarrassment over and over again.
Many times
that people sent in. There are a lot of folks. Yeah.
I will also say, Jim, I met him at City Tap House. So shout out, Jim. He said he has a lot of pressure now that we read a lot of his headlines. But he keeps coming up with good ones. So shout out to you, Jim.
Keep bringing it, baby. Ken Goodson had this. He wrote this. He said, for all Duke basketball headlines, please refer to the obituaries page.
Wow.
I like that. Chris Immershine, flip fight through frustrating fouls, but can't do it alone. Donald, we are going to struggle somewhat to find good other than Kyle Filipowski. Filipowski brought it in this game. Not a lot of other guys did. Jared Strauss said, ice cold Duke melts down versus Pack. Ice cold shooting. That was a major story in this game. John Grantland, I love this one. Hungry like the wolf. NC State was hungry, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jonathan Starks, who calls himself Juice Starks. This isn't a headline, but I did want to mention something because I think this sums up the way a lot of people are feeling. He said, I'm not an irrational Duke fan. I'm always very quick to refute people who give up on teams too early. And I've defended this team to my friend group all season long, knowing that they have the makings of a Final Four roster. He said, but the product on the court tonight was not Final Four worthy. It wasn't even worthy of a first round win. He said, I always come back to a famous quote from Coach K. He said, you have to be worthy of winning. And this team wasn't worthy of winning tonight. And I think Jonathan is absolutely right about that.
That's the frustration that I have, and I know that you share, Jason, is that
exactly
as great as we know this team can be, as great as this team for the most part have been playing over the last month, we did not see that last night. I watched with my, you know, I sat with my best friends and my godson. We were having a great time until one of them turned to me and just goes, what is this team? Who is this team? I don't like it. Bring it back. Bring back the team that we were used to seeing. Because it wasn't a team we saw last night. And I think that sums it up, right? We don't have to give up on the season. But last night was a performance that cannot happen again if you want to be the Final Four team that you think you are. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Shout out to that. That's a great comment. And I'm glad that you were able to bring that into the headlines.
Yeah. And to me, the biggest thing that I saw last night was a Duke team, as Juice said, that didn't deserve to win the game. Like late in the game, when State was just missing free throw after free throw, and when they had that just bizarre play where they hung on the rim and missed a wide open dunk that would have sealed up the game. I was saying to myself, you know, we may miracle our way back into this, but we didn't play well enough to deserve to win. There are games that you lose where you go, oh, wow. The opponent really out-schemed us. They got super hot. There are all kinds of different things that happen in basketball that one of the reasons the sport is so great, where sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. Sometimes it's just the other team just really brought it in a big way. I think this was mostly Duke's fault. Not to disparage NC State. They played hard. They played with a lot of effort. They played smart. They hustled. They got to every loose ball. Yes, yes, yes. But I think a lot of what happened in this game was a bunch of the guys on the Duke team did not come to play. They did not come to play. And that, I think, as fans, is what's most frustrating.
Yeah, so we're going to talk more about that after the break, but let's get to the good first. And Jason, the biggest good we have was our man in the middle, number 30, Kyle Filipowski, 28 points, 14 rebounds, three steals, and one assist. Jason, this is the seventh game this year that he's had 20 points and 10 rebounds. when we think about, we talked about this when he was named to the first team all ACC, and we're like, wow, we really have gotten down on Cal Filipowski and how terrible a year by our standards that we think that he has had. But I think he's one of the only people, I think he's the only player in the nation that has 7 20-10 games this year. That's a lot. And he was all over the place.
It was almost a 30-10. Dude, it was almost a 30-10.
It was almost a 30-10. But Jason, the other thing about it is we have, of course, we're nitpicky sometimes when it comes to Flip. We like him to get close to perfection, all these guys, right? And so we're going to always find things for them to work on. And the one thing that has really plagued him this year has been starting cold. This game, he was one of the only guys who did not start cold. He was on from the opening tip.
Well, hang on. I'm going to say this. Duke went almost 5 minutes without scoring at the start of this game.
This is true.
And look, yes, we're in the good. And Flip was unquestionably the biggest thing in the good. But everyone on Duke, including Kyle Filipowski, did not come out of the locker room at the start of the game or after halftime with the right kind of urgency and intensity. We didn't score for almost 5 minutes at the start of the first half. We didn't score for almost 3 minutes at the start of the second half. But I agree with you. You're right for the most part. Considering how much Flip has been absent in some first halves, he was present yesterday.
Yes, and so I agree with you on that, right? The 5 minutes, again, I was going to talk about the first 5 minutes in the back. Yeah, but
it's really hard.
It's really hard. Yeah, it's really hard when you do these games. So I like to try and separate them just so we can have an air of positivity on this show. But when we talk about Flip, again, the first halves have usually been where he is non-existent, you know, gone. Very much not on the score sheet. And then the second half, he pours it out. I think his production was divided between halves in this sort of, and because of that, he was the most consistent player on the floor. And there have been times this year where we have struggled to figure out who is going to get the ball in situations where we absolutely need a basket. Yesterday, it turned out that Kyle Filipowski was the only one that if we gave him the ball in times where he really needed a basket, he was going to go get a basket or at least go to the free throw line. So I really like the fact that he was able to come out and establish himself. Again, live up to that All-ACC first team designation honor that he got. But also, I think where he was most active, not necessarily on the offensive end, was on the defensive end with the rebounds. 14 rebounds. I think he had 9 defensive rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds, and the steals, right? What established him early was the fact that despite the fact that both teams weren't really hitting shots on the first 5 minutes of the game, he had a couple of steals in that thing and then also got an assist. So he was all over the court on offensive defense, and I really liked what I saw from Flip.
Yeah, look, you mentioned the 9 defensive rebounds. He had 5 offensive rebounds. And I just love the fact that he recognized that he could get in the post and do what he wanted in there. And you didn't see him really venturing outside as much. He took only 1 3-pointer. For the most part, you didn't see him setting up on the perimeter nearly as much as he usually does. Duke was trying to get him down in the post. He was operating in there. He's usually not. He usually struggles sometimes with finishing down there in the post. 13 of 19 field goals. I mean, like, that's not struggling at all. And for him to take on the load he did in this game, Duke at some points were going to him possession after possession after possession because he was the only thing that was working. And that takes effort. I mean, look, he's got DJ Burns leaning on him at the other end of the floor and sometimes at this end of the floor. I mean, State runs big guys out there and strong guys, old guys, super experienced players. And for Kyle Filipowski to not get worn down, to continue to be productive throughout the entire game, to keep his head up and his focus, I thought, you know, it's easily one of his best games. Do you know how hard it is, Donald, to win the MVP award from Ken Pomeroy if your team loses the game? Kyle Filipowski was the MVP of this game. I mean, that's a big deal. And look, honestly, you know, I kind of don't know how Mohamed Diarra didn't win it for NC State. Because that dude had a heck of a contest. But Ken Pom's formula said it was Kyle Filipowski. And again, it's not easy to win MVP when your team is on the losing side. And the other thing I wanted to mention about Flip very quickly was, yes, he fouled out. and he got in, you know, he got in that foul trouble because of that silly foul I committed on the perimeter on DJ Burns that was really bad. But Duke didn't lose this game because Flip fouled out. Flip was able to play a very good number of minutes in this contest. He missed a little bit toward the end of the first half, and then he fouled out with a couple minutes left. But again, I don't think Duke lost this game because Kyle Filipowski got in foul trouble. I think Duke lost this game because of a lot of other people, and the only reason they were in this game was because of how effective Kyle Filipowski was at the offensive and defensive ends of the floor. He owned the post in this game, which was not something I think any of us came into it expecting to happen.
Kyle Filipowski fouled out with 16 seconds left in the game, and it was because he was trying to get NC State to the field goal or to the free throw line in an effort to extend the game a little bit. So he played. We'll talk about that also in the bad, but there's all the starters essentially played the entirety of the second half for the most part. Jason, I think there's other stat lines we need to talk about. Mark Mitchell, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 assist, 1 block. Tyrese Proctor, a 10-5-5 game, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. We've talked about for both of them, right? For Mitchell, establishing himself on the glass, he got 8 rebounds. I thought he did great there. And also, again, despite some of his the fact that he may have struggled from the floor, he was able to get 18 points and was our second leading scorer. And again, at times we went to him because he was open in positions where he was able to go to the basket.
Yeah, wait. Mark Mitchell did not struggle. 8 of 13 is good shooting. 2 of 2 3-pointers and a long 2-pointer. Whereas
a very long 2-pointer. He had 2 on the line. It was on our side of the court, Jason. And they first called, like, someone was like, oh, I think the announcer was like, 3-point basket for Mark Mitchell. And the referee is looking at the scorer's table like, come on, bro. He had 2 feet on the line. Like, both feet were tippy-toeing on the line. It was a great shot, but it was like, oh, Kyle Singler 2. Is a sit, like, literally immediately what everyone in our section was like, oh, Kyle Singler 2. There it is.
Yeah, there you go. No, I thought Mark Mitchell had an excellent game. Look, our big men, our starting big men, Flip and Mitchell, were clearly the highlights in this contest. I mean, ordinarily, Mark Mitchell, you go for 18 with 8 rebounds, hitting both your 3-pointers, 8 of 13 shooting overall, you're going to get a ton of praise. It's only that Kyle Filipowski went absolutely ham wild that we're not talking more about Mitchell. I thought Mitchell was fighting more than he has lately. You know, the only thing, and I hate that we're in the good, I shouldn't be talking about the bad, but as long as we're talking about Mark Mitchell, the 2 free throws he misses with a minute 46 left in a 5-point game would have put a huge possession pressure on NC State if he'd knocked those down. And when he missed them, that was pretty much ball game. I feel like that was the moment where I was like, oh, this is it. But I thought that Mark Mitchell hadn't had his best game in a while. And when you and I were talking, when we were previewing the ACC tournament, I said one of the things that I really needed to see from Duke, one of the things that I was hoping that would change, was that Mark Mitchell would go back to being aggressive and would go back to scoring with authority inside. Yep. And he most assuredly did in this game. And if he continues that, that's a really big deal for Duke. And you also, very quickly, you mentioned Tyrese Proctor. I like him hunting his shot. Look, we'll talk a little bit later about how many of them he hit, but I like the fact that he was hunting his shot. I like that he went after the rebounds really hard, 7 rebounds, including several where he skied in traffic to, like, grab the rebound. This wasn't just like, oh, no one else is
They weren't
around.
Open rebounds, yeah.
Yeah, these were rebounds with authority. And you mentioned the 5 assists. He also had 0 turnovers. 0 turnovers and plays 40 minutes every single second of the game for the 3rd game in a row. I think we're seeing an emergence from Tyrese Proctor and a confidence in his game that we haven't really seen all year. And that's obviously a very, very big deal for Duke and something we've hoped to see for a long, long time from Tyrese. So I'm not going to talk about our other guys yet, but I'll go ahead and put Tyrese at least partially in the good for this game. And Mark Mitchell most assuredly is in the good.
I will mention, you know, you mentioned the 5 assists. We've talked about Tyrese Proctor really is reestablishing himself on that end with distributing the basketball. He helped us to 15 assists on 28 made baskets. But Jason, that's the first time all year we had an assist rate of over 50% and lost the ball game. So again, we had some things go right. We had some things where we were saying in the rebounding battle, it was a tough rebounding battle.
Yeah.
We ended up putting that as well. Again, the two,
yeah, but
funny,
I'm not...
the 2 bellwethers that we had, right? The 2 bellwether stats that we've talked about all year. we end up losing the game.
Yeah, but when we get to the bat, I'm explaining to you why the rebounding wasn't as good as you think it was.
Right, right. But it hey, look, when you look at the stat sheet, you go, wow, they were on a rebounding game. How'd that happen? They were aggressive. And again, we just mentioned three guys that had, what, 24, 31 rebounds on their own, those three guys. So I'm happy with that. We could take that. So let's leave. I don't know if you have anything else in the good.
No.
I don't think we do. Let's just take a break.
Nothing else good about this game. Nothing else.
Let's take a break. Let's all breathe. Get a drink of water, something you need to do. Just take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about everything else from this game against NC State.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Jason, we are back and we got to dive into everything that went wrong with this game. And Jason, this is not the way originally we were going to start this, but I'm going to start with this. After the game, in the press conference, John Shire talked about a bad omen that happened right before the game. And that bad omen was Jared McCain and Jalen Blake's apparently butting heads or banging heads during warmups. Yeah,
you didn't get to see it. They had footage of it. It was just one of these drills where like you're one-on-one with a guy, you're facing them.
Yeah.
And you're going and they just knocked it. You know, it could happen to anybody. Just bad luck.
Bad luck, right? He has to get stitches before the game, and he mentioned, or at least John Shire mentioned, that because of that, Jared wasn't himself. And Jared will say he's okay, that he was good to go, and that he's not going to make excuses. And I think that's what we love about Jared McCain, is that he won't make excuses for him playing poorly in a game. But man, that's just a bad way to start the game, right? When your best shooters basically has his eye. It looked like during the game that the bandage is basically covering one of his eyes for the most part. And then I know that affects his vision. I know that affects his depth perception, which is why some of his shots ended up coming up short. It's one of those freak accidents that, you know, contributed to everything else that happened in this game.
Yeah. So Jared only took six shots in this game. That's his fewest since he took six against Southern Indiana. And he also had five shots against Michigan State. It is worth noting, Southern Indiana, he only played 21 minutes. Michigan State, he only played 16. This was six shots in 34 minutes of gameplay. And yes, I agree. It's very possible that him getting, you know, head bumped in practice or in warmups is one of the reasons that he wasn't himself in this game. But it's worth noting that Jared is now 5 for his last 20 on three-pointers. That's not just this game. The threes that he missed tonight, wide open. I mean, wide, wide, wide open three-pointers. On at least two of them, I was dead certain he was going to hit them because he had so much time to hit them. And, you know, speaking of warmups, we're talking about, you know, him getting hurt in warmups. Duke was wearing warmups that said Duke Energy on them. It wasn't a sponsorship agreement with the Electric Power Company. This was like a Nike thing.
Yeah,
you know,
all the Nike schools have the same March Madness shirts.
I saw Wake Energy on the Wake Forest guys. Duke Energy. I don't think the team paid very much attention to what was written on those warmups, though, because they had zero energy for much of this game. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, NC State outworked us. They got the loose balls. They wanted it more than we did. I feel like, speaking of the warmups, I feel like we forgot to take them off and actually play. We failed to score, as I mentioned, at the start of both halves. Like, we were still wearing our warmups and not actually in uniform. It was just, I don't know what was going on with the energy, but Duke didn't seem prepared.
So, again, after the press conference, John Shire mentioned that he thought that we didn't have the competitive fire that you need to have in the postseason. And he said it's something we need to work on. He said those exact words. And
Here's
the problem with it, Jason.
Hold on.
Here's the problem with it. The problem with it is when I read those comments, I go, I've seen this before. I've seen this before after the UNC game just last week. I saw it before after the UNC game a month ago. Those exact words. I don't know what's going on with our predator fire, but we got to work on it. That's the problem, Jason.
My thing is there's no more time to work. Like, it can't happen again. If it happens again, Duke is done.
Right.
This season is over. This team is over. Several of these players will never wear a Duke uniform again. Having your coach in the press conference talking about, oh, these are things we need to work on. That's January stuff. That's November stuff. Maybe it's February stuff. It cannot be mid-March stuff. If you're still figuring it out in mid-March, you're in trouble.
So forget the figuring out part. The words are what I'm focused on. The words, having said that after the NC State game last night, after the UNC game this past weekend, after the UNC game a month ago, you know what that is, Jason? That's a pattern. That's a theme. We can't have the pattern and theme of this team be lack of passion, lack of urgency, lack of competitive fire, lack of hustle. Those can't happen. But it happened last night. Again, you mentioned a lot of the, you know, loose balls ended up in NC State's hands. A lot of the hustle plays ended up going NC State's way. It's very difficult to understand how this is a pattern. This, again, throughout the course of this last month and a half of the season, it just can't happen because that's not Duke basketball, right? Duke basketball is the hustle. It is the energy. It is the passion. It is the urgency. And we didn't have that last night in even in the first 5 minutes, right? Okay, both teams are struggling to hit shots, whatever. But once NC State took like a 15-8 lead, it felt like we didn't have the urgency to go, hey, guys, we're, you know, I know it's, you know, 12 minutes into the game, but, yo, we got to get going here. Like, there's a reason why we're here at the ACC tournament. It's to win it. It's not just to be here and be present. And so I'm perplexed as to why those words continue to keep popping up because they have to be mentioned. It becomes a pattern. It becomes a theme, and that's not what we need at any point of the year, much less March.
Yeah. Look, as I move on to others, because there's not much more to say about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We have it. We got the passion. So
you and I get how essential that is, and I hope the team understands as well. I want to move on to something else, which is the play of our perimeter players. I already talked about Jared McCain only taking six shots and not really hitting very many of them at all. Our perimeter players, and I'm including TJ Power in this because with Caleb Foster out, TJ Power is a wing backup for Duke. Our perimeter players were 7 of 31 in this game. They were 3 of 17 on three pointers. I'll save you from pulling out a calculator and doing the 3 of 17 math. That's 17.6% on three pointers. And it wasn't like we were jacking them up, you know, at desperation time or something like that. We were taking good three-point shots in rhythm, quite a few of them, like wide open, and we just didn't hit. We just didn't hit hardly any of them. And as a result of that god-awful shooting from our perimeter players, Duke failed to score 70 points for the first time since the Notre Dame game on January 6th. And it's worth noting that Notre Dame game, they played like a slowdown kind of style. I mean, for Duke not to even get to 70 points for the first time in more than 2 months against an NC State team that is not exactly known for stellar defense. For our guards, for our perimeter guys to hit 17%. Ugh. And it felt like they were afraid, like that they were intimidated or something. You know, I mentioned Jeremy McCain only took 6 shots. Jeremy Roach only took 6 shot attempts. That's the fewest he's had since he had 5 in the blowout of Bucknell early. Remember when we played Bucknell early in the season? He only played 24 minutes against Bucknell. We didn't really need him to do anything to win that game. He took 5 shots in that game. He only takes 6 shots in this game. Every other game in between, he's taken more than 6 shot attempts. I mentioned in our preview that Jeremy's been struggling a little bit from the perimeter. That continued. He's now 4 for his past 19 on three-pointers. I mentioned McCain, 5 for his last 20. Roach now 4 for his last 19. I mean, those two guys are like struggling to get to even 20% of their three-pointers. And they have both been in the mid to upper 40s all season long. And last thing I want to mention about Roach. Days after it seemed like maybe he was a little overly emotional against UNC and what might have been his last game in Cameron. What he sort of was mentally prepared for being his final game in Cameron against UNC. And he admitted he was too emotional for that. He comes to Washington, D.C., to his hometown where he grew up. I'm sure he had, what do you think, 30-plus fans? He had 30-plus family members and friends in the stadium, I'm guessing at least, if not more than that, probably. He seemed overwhelmed. He had one of his worst games in a Duke uniform. Look, I know that he supposedly has some nagging injuries.
He was hurt. He was hobbling the entire game.
Yeah, it's not – the stuff he has is not bad enough for him to sit, but it is bad enough so that his play is noticeably worse than it was just a few weeks ago. I feel awful for the guy because he's likely playing his final games at Duke, and he has had a great senior year. We have talked again and again. He's having a Quinn Cook-like senior season. And it just feels like it's breaking up for him. It's falling apart for him here down the stretch. And it won't end the way Quinn Cook's ended if he continues to play this way. It's really a pity.
Yeah. We could tell that he was laboring for a lot of the game. And I think that affects everything, Jason, right? It affects his bounce on defense. It affects his ability to run the floor. It affects his ability to shoot. It affects a lot of
probably
things.
Yeah, his lift on his jump shots probably. Yeah.
It just aren't there. Yeah. And leading with the jump shots, you talked about a lot of the outside shot. I see what happened from NC State's perspective. They watched the tape of that UNC game the other night and they said, we need to duplicate this. And that is forcing us to take a lot of mid-range jumpers. And it felt like early in the game, the reason why we weren't hitting anything is because, and I know you hate this shot, Jason, they just kept forcing us to take shots between like 14 and 17 feet. And we were missing most of them. Again, front ending a lot of them. And even when we got into the paint, we weren't able to get all the way to the basket and lay it in off the glass. We had to kind of take some hook shots and some floaters that were falling short. I also think about this stat, Jason, and this is a stat that we don't really talk about that much because it's usually skewing in the way of Duke, but this one was interesting. NC State had 9 offensive rebounds, and they got 18 second chance points off of them, the most by Duke that Duke has let an opponent have all year long. Meanwhile, we had 12 offensive rebounds and only got 8 second chance points. There's a lot of your ball game. The momentum, anytime that NC State got the ball on our offensive rebound, they scored. That's what that tells me. Like, it tells me 9 points. The average is 2 points per offensive rebound. I mean, they got the ball and put it back up and put it in. Whereas for us, we got 12 offensive rebounds and probably only scored on 3 or 4 of them. I know there's a couple where we got fouled and went to the line, but man, those are the backbreakers. And that's again where it leads to the fact that the hustle paid off for them. And us, it didn't really. It just felt like every single time NC State had an opportunity, they took advantage of it.
Yeah, look, when I mentioned earlier, I was going to talk about the rebounding and how Duke didn't really win the rebounding battle. It was because NC State was remarkably efficient on those second chance points. Look, I think it was part of what you saw happening again and again on loose balls, on 50-50 balls, where not only did State get the ball, but when they would get these sort of, you know, ping-pongy or, you know, these 50-50 balls, they would almost inevitably find themselves in a great position to get a run out or to get an open lane to the basket. I can't even count how many times Casey Morsell, who frankly didn't have that great a game, but like just suddenly found himself wide open for a dunk or for a fast break or something because a loose ball, a second chance point, a rebound kind of thing had ping-ponged its way to him. And there was no one between him and the bucket. It just probably at least happened three times in this game. And some of it is bad luck. But some of it is State just working and hustling and doing everything they could. And look, part of those second chance points, the guy who led State, who had almost half their offensive rebounds, was Mohamed Diarra. And good gosh, did he have... Look, we talk about Mark Mitchell as a Swiss Army knife. Mohamed Diarra was a Swiss Army knife, mm-hmm. doing a little bit of everything for them. He had 16 rebounds. He has two assists. He has four block shots, three steals. He hit a three-pointer. He was 4 or 5 on his two-pointers, 14 points. Diarra was all over the place, impacting everything that happened in that game. And, you know, as much as we talked about Mark Mitchell and the good, it's kind of hard to be too positive in Mark Mitchell because his opposite number, the guy who was guarding him a lot of the time was Diarra, and Diarra just owned this game.
There's also one thing interesting about this game is that in the second half, the starters played all but 2 minutes and 12 seconds of total time. Mitchell, Roach, Proctor all played 20 minutes. As we mentioned before the break, Flip would have played 20 minutes if he didn't foul out with 16 seconds left. So we had four guys, essentially, who played all 20 minutes. As you mentioned, Tyrese Proctor played all 40 minutes, and most of these guys played a lot. And so it also leads to the next thing that I think is the glaring omission on this stat sheet, and that is the omission of bench points, because we didn't have any. The guys who came in off the bench did not score in this game. And converse that with NC State, whose bench was very electric when they came into the game. They were very active, and they were able to get some points. Again, you see some of these stats, you go, that's your ball game. The problem is there's too many of these stats that we can break down and go, if you had flipped that even slightly, this is a different ball game. Of course, like if a couple of those TJ Power threes go down, we're in a much better situation. But your bench needs to contribute, and your bench needs to be an active part. And it also just kind of led to some stagnant offense because the starters were tired. The starters were gassed towards the end of that game, but they couldn't come out because it didn't feel like John Shire wanted to go with anybody on the bench until it was absolutely necessary with, like, you know, under a minute left. And so I'm that was an interesting call by the coaching staff, by John Shire, to play the starters basically the entirety of the second half. It didn't work out. I think it also means that the bench needs to remember that when they get into the game, they need to be a part of this game. We've seen some guys who have done magically off the bench in recent weeks that weren't able to do the same thing last night. So that was an interesting stat. And I, one of those stats that I looked at, I go, wow, if this had been a little bit different, this game is a little bit different.
Yeah, my comment on the bench is they gave us nothing. And I hate to say that because everyone knows a lot of these guys, I'm a huge, huge fan of them. But our bench plays 18 minutes, scores 0 points. Like you said, they had three rebounds and three turnovers. I'm sorry, 18 minutes. First of all, 18 minutes is not enough. But in your 18 minutes, bench guys, three rebounds, three turnovers, 0 points. Frankly, Ryan Young seems like he's afraid to shoot. He ignored several potential buckets so he could pass to someone outside or someone around him. And I get that Ryan knows scoring is not his primary thing. He's bringing energy and physicality into the game. But at one point he was wide, like he had just an easy nothing layup and he chose to relocate the ball outside for a three. If we knock it down, great. Three is more than two. But I think if you got a pretty much guaranteed two, you should take it. He seems, like I say, almost afraid to shoot. Ryan Young plays only 6 minutes, has a plus minus of minus eight. Sean Stewart, who was so great against NC State a couple weeks ago, really didn't get a lot of a chance in this game, because when he came in, he immediately butterfingered away, you know, had a turnover where Flip fed him. I think it was Flip fed him, and it just went right through his fingers again. He took one shot that got blocked, like didn't even come close to getting to the rim. Looked like he might have been a little bit overwhelmed by the moment. He only plays 4 minutes, has a negative five plus minus in his 4 minutes. TJ Power played more than anybody else off the bench because we desperately needed someone to knock down a big shot from outside. And TJ took three three-pointers. They were all wide open looks. He just missed all three of them. That's his job. That's what he's in the game for, is to knock down those threes. And he couldn't do it. It was between our perimeter players having not arguably, for sure, their worst game of the season, and our bench guys being unable to contribute anything. You know, we got to thank Kyle Filipowski and Mark Mitchell for even allowing this game to be minorly competitive. But when you, like you say, Donald, when you look at a lot of these stats, when you look at a lot of the lines that these guys put up, you're like, yeah, of course Duke lost with players playing like this.
Yeah, and now we enter the real part of the season. As you mentioned, there is no more losing that is allowed because one loss ends the season. We will find out. We're going to talk about the incidentally tournament quickly in just a second. But, Jason, we end as the game recaps, as we always do, with our play of the game and our player of the week. So play of the game, was there one that stood out to you?
Well, I forgot to even I honestly didn't record a play of the game. Probably there was a sequence in the second half where Flip scored on like three consecutive possessions.
I was going to say, yeah, that it looked like it was maybe like a 90 second stretch where Flip really, again, reestablished himself as like, hey, I'm the guy that you need to give the ball to. And as you mentioned, it was during that stretch where every single play, it felt like they were trying to feed him the ball, and every single time he got it, he took it and scored. So I think that's a good play sequence of the game. You know, we like the sequences on this podcast. We like more than just one play being strung together, but that was a good, you know, again, 90 second stretch where I think all of us in the arena, and even there, was like, okay, maybe we got something going here. We can give the ball the Flip and let's see how that rides. And of course it didn't end the way that we wanted to. And Jason, I think we're going out on a limb here, but I think we both are probably going to have Kyle Filipowski as our player of the week, given that there's only one game and he was clearly the star of the show last night for Duke.
Yeah, no more comment needed, for sure. Not even up for consideration.
Right.
100%.
So, Jason, quickly, we look forward to the NCAA tournament. The selection show, of course, is Sunday evening. It will be on CBS. It's the best time of the year. We have officially reached the best time of the year. Joe Lunardi, as of today, as of this moment, and this is going to change a lot during the weekend, has us as a three seed in the East, playing in Brooklyn to start those first two rounds and then going to Boston. That's actually up from yesterday, Jason, where he had us in the three in the South, playing the opening rounds in Pittsburgh. So I ask you, because this thing is going to go several ways over the course of the weekend, where do you think that Duke ends up when the selection show happens on Sunday night? Give me a seeding and give me a region.
Wow. I think Duke is more likely to end up in the South than the East, because I think that UNC is not going to get the fourth number one seed. And as a result of that, I think UNC is going to be placed in the same region as UConn. And, you know, that UConn will be the number one in the East and UNC will be the number two in the East. And I think that Duke then will be placed as the number three in the South. Highly possible that Tennessee could be number two in the South. Tennessee also could be out West, perhaps as a number one out West or a number two out West. But if I have to, you know, if I have to pick a spot, I'm going to go South region, Duke as the number three, because I think UNC probably ends up in the East.
So I think that if UNC ends up winning the ACC tournament, I think they get the final number one seed. That will put them out west. I think that they are not going to reward Duke by putting us in the east or the south. I think they put us as a three seed in the Midwest. And I think that we're going to my hometown of Detroit, if that's the case. And if so, better play well, because I will see you there. But I think at the end of the day, I think UNC is probably going to do just enough in the committee's eyes to put them as one of the last four. And I think it also could, of course, a lot can change. Teams can lose between now and then. UNC could also not win this thing. But I think if UNC wins the ACC tournament, they will get that final one. They'll be thrown out west instead of being a two in the east. And that will open up the doors for Duke to maybe play a little bit closer home. But we obviously see on Sunday night. And Jason, right before we wrap up, I did want to make a note. This is not a happy note to pass along, but it was reported last night, the passing of RJ Barrett's brother, Nathan, his younger brother. He passed away on Tuesday. RJ Barrett was absent from the team on Wednesday when they played against the Pistons, and now he will be absent tonight now that this news is out. But we just wanted to pass along our condolences to the Barrett family. It's unclear as to what happened or the reasons for his passing. I don't think, frankly, that's important. The fact is he has to bury his younger brother, and I think that's just terrible for him and his family. So I know he's feeling it, and we want to say rest in peace to Nathan and pass along our wishes to RJ Barrett.
Yeah, just horrific. Any time a young person, you don't have words to describe the amount of pain that people feel at a time like this. And I hope RJ and his family can be together and get through this.
Nathan played at Mont Verde Academy. I believe he was teammates his senior year with Sean Stewart and Cooper Flagg. So again, the part of the Duke family in a way, because Nathan had been seen coming to games as well when RJ was in school. So that will do it for episode number 610 of the Duke Basketball Roundup. We will obviously be back on Sunday night. The selection show is on Sunday night. We will be back to tell you where Duke is going and who we're going to play. And we're going to be much more excited about this, because this is the time to be excited. This is tournament season.
Yeah. And by the way, if things go as they absolutely could go, and this Duke team makes a nice run in the NCAA tournament, which they are absolutely capable of, then this horrible experience we all had yesterday will be completely forgotten.
And we're going to laugh about it. Let's look at this and laugh about it. And hopefully we can do that on Sunday when we go, oh, wow, we're in this great position to go all the way to the Final Four. New beginning. New beginnings, ladies and gentlemen. The ACC tournament is done. March Madness is upon us. Get ready for it. We will see you on Sunday. For now, for Jason, I am Donald, and now it's time for the Duke Band to play us out and take us home.